Interesting to note regarding the relationship of the Chovis Alvodis to Rabbi Yankov Emden. As we've pointed out, the great Gedolei Yisrael, starting from the time of the Rishonim, in terms of their appreciation, in terms of their attitude, and the mention that they mention in dealing with the Chovis Alvodis, in terms of the tremendous contribution in his Seiris and Avedis Hashem. Rabbi Yankov Emden, you know, of course, is quite familiar to us regarding quite a number of Svarim that he wrote. But there's a Sefer which is not that familiar. It's called, the Sefer is called Migdal Oiz. Sefer Migdal Oiz talks about Midos and the Halachas of Mila and so on. It might be interesting just to mention there is a particular Chiddush, and we should say it sort of like quietly over here, and that is Rabbi Yankov Emden points out in the Halachas of Mila, in the Hanhogis of Mila, it was quite customary at the time, and even in our generation as well, brisen were made at home. Bris is done at home. Shalom Zocher, Zavada and Avada were done at home, were not necessarily done in a shul at all. And the bris was done at home. And the woman who gave birth, the eldest, was in a room where she was, in a room not far away. And the bris was held in one room, and the eldest was in a different room. And of course, if the bris was held at home, you know, though they davened there also. It's not just the bris was held there, they had a minyan there. That minyan was held at the home, and after davening they had the bris. Rabbi Emden writes regarding the Kriyas HaTorah, which takes place at the home of the mother who gave birth by the bris. Rabbi Yankov Emden points out that if you take a look in Masechtas Megillah, Ksav Megillah says that Al Pi Halacha it's mentioned that Noshim and Ketanim would have been allowed to have an aliyah, except it's not Kovod HaTzibur and so on. So Rabbi Yankov Emden points out, so being that basically it seems that Noshim would have been allowed to have an aliyah, the reason that it's not done is because of Kovod HaTzibur. Rabbi Yankov Emden says it makes sense that the Kovod HaTzibur applies when the minyan is in shul, but if a mother gave birth and it's in her house and the bris is taking place, it's her child, said Rabbi Yankov Emden, in my opinion, the mother should have an aliyah. Say, we should say this quietly over here. And he says that he follows it up with a lotion. He says, "Imloy achshav emesai." You don't give her a chance now, she's never going to have aliyah. So no, this is to do it. He says, "Imloy achshav emesai." Again, Rabbi Yankov Emden is quite known to be quite controversial, and nothing held him back from ever voicing his opinions, no matter what the situation was. And that was Rabbi Yankov Emden. Just let me mention just to you that Rabbi Yankov Emden, you know, was born in 1698 in Germany, in Altoona, which is a suburb at that time of Hamburg and so on. You know, his father was, of course, the Chacham Tzvi. Both Gedolei Hador in their own right, you know, both of them. And it's kedai to mention that the Chassam Sofer and the Chuvis, Resh Samach Dalad, when he refers to Rabbi Yankov Emden, he writes, Godel HaAchreinim. Some Sofer refers to Rabbi Yankov Emden, he says he's the Godel of the Achroinim. And in another area, in the Shalzi Chuvis, some Sofer in Chelik Choshe Mishpat, makes reference there also to Rabbi Yankov Emden. And he writes a phrase, which probably is very unique, and he says, Dover Godel Diber HaNovi. Loshen Rabbi Yankov Emden. It's a great thing that the Novi said, Dover Godel Diber HaNovi. Again, quite clearly we see that the tremendous respect we see, first of all, some Sofer that he has dealing with Rabbi Yankov Emden. Tremendous Boki, of course, in Shas HaPoskim. He was great in Torah HaKabbalah. He was great in Chochmas HaDikduk. He knew many languages, among them also Latin, and he spoke Dutch, and so on. And he had a flourishing pen, very prolific writer. Historians have said one can imagine that Rabbi Yankov Emden never opened the sefer without having a pen in his hand at the same time, because he would always write ha'oris right on the side, on the margin, just to be ready, because he always had comments, because everywhere and all over the place you find different hagoyis from Rabbi Yaakov Emden and so on. And quite a number of weeks ago, maybe sometime during the beginning of when we started the Chovetz Chavavish year, and it's kedai maybe to mention what Rabbi Yaakov Emden himself writes to his pirish, to Masechtes Ovis, Pirkei Ovis, and he writes as follows. It's in Perek Vov. It's a very fascinating thing. Rabbi Emden writes that Teiseli, he says, the Osa Uvdeliyodi, he says, believe me, I want to tell you this tremendous thing, Maisa, that happened to me. He's writing it himself personally. What happened? Be'echod Mebnei Bris, happened to be Yayid. Echod Mebnei Bris was Yayid. Bozui v'shoful moed, but he happened to be, I don't know how you define, how do you know exactly, but he says this was a yid, a bozui v'shoful moed, a very lowly character. He said, mepchusei ha-hamoin, from the lowest of the people, mepchusei ha-hamoin, shekilolani, he says, klolo nimretzis, who began to curse me, terrible klolos, a lowly person began to curse me klolos, he says, he cursed him klolo nimretzes, the hirbilahach lemoisi, and he continued to embarrass me, ulevazoisi tibimavazimi bedvorim koshim umorim, with tremendous, he says, bitter words, dvorim koshim, klolos bizoinis, he says, yoyred chadrei botin, these words were so stabbing, it goes right down, into the kishkis. Yerid penetrated through and through, he writes. V'yom Ali, and among the things that this lowly person said to me, among his klolos, among his bizyoinus, V'yom Ali, shimuter u'mitzvah, not only shimuter, but it's a mitzvah, lenatek me'ai mikirbi, to rip out my kishkas from inside. That's what he said. It's shimuter u'mitzvah, lenatek, he says, me'ai mikirbi, not only that, v'lachtoich mibsori ritzuis, and to cut strips, he says, from my flesh. The worst of torture that one can imagine. Vadayin, he says, the person said, it's not enough if you erach maisa. According to what a Russia I am, he says, this is not even enough. That person said, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The imshloy osisiloy me'umarami yomai. I never did anything bad to that person. I never harmed this person, he says. Not only that, I never met him before. Lohikartiv me'oilom. I never met him. And so on and so forth, he continued to say in his klolos. But here's the godless. I was not nispoil at all from whatever he said. And I shook my head. Gamdam tiv l'schus. I was also down l'schus. Omarti. He says, l'fi machshavta, because according to his cheshmi, he thinks he's doing the right thing. Lefi marshavto, he says, toiv also. Lefi demyoinoi hamute. According to his false imagination, he says he thinks he's doing good. Huter loy domi. My blood bechlau became mutter. Umachalti loy, and he says, I was moichel him. So this is a personal little anecdote of Rabbi Yaakov Emden himself as he writes it in the Pirus Mishnah Yisovis. It's interesting to point out that the Chido says, also talks about the tremendous koyach of Ksiva that Rabbi Yaakov Emden had. He said he had the 8 Sofer Mohir. He had a flourishing pen, Kinohar Shena Poisek, like a river that's just not, doesn't stop. Non-stop. Continuous, he says. And he says, V'herich Yomim Vishonim Alatoyev Alavoyde. He says, in the killer of Altuna. And he says, in his youth, he was a Rav only once. B'bachrusoi hoyerak, he says, Bekila, he was a Rav, Bekila Emden. That's why he's known as Rabbi Yaakov Emden. His name was not Emden. He's known as Rabbi Yaakov Emden because he was a Rav, by Ray. Later, Rav Hirsch was also Rav in Emden. Rav Hirsch, before Frankfurt, he was a Rav in Emden. So, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was known, he goes down to history, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because he was a Rav in Emden. It's a few years, then he left. From then on, he did not want to receive. The Chidor writes this. Did not want to accept the Rabbonis, and it's known. He says, not Oved, Aved, Avbezin. He said, Baruch Hashem, he said that I'm not a Rav. He just said. It's a play on words. This is Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Just a guy of Orch, I just want to mention that his siddur, Rabbi Yankiv Emden, of course, was one of the most authoritative siddurim, because not just on the siddur. Rabbi Yankiv Emden is also filled with halachas, filled with minhagim, also is very makbid on the punctuation of the words. So the nekudis underneath the words in the siddur, he worked on each and every phrase, each and everything, it should be according to digduk, according to his havonah's understanding. He wanted also the siddur to be of high quality. Let me mention, Rabbi Yankiv Emden had his own private printing press in his house. He had his own private printing. He wasn't a rov, he was printing. He printed also. He printed sfarim. And not only did he use, though, his own printing press, but in order that the siddur should be a high quality, so the oisius, the letters, he had imported for his siddur a very special, beautiful oisius from Amsterdam, which he himself did not have, routinely imported, and he himself did not move away from watching exactly to make sure there's no mistakes and so on and so forth. And he writes as follows regarding his siddur. Let me tell you some few lines. Royu sheyargil odom atzmoil hispalel mitoich, he says, sefer zeh. A person should get used to davening from the siddur, v'loyoymar shum dover balpeh, and not to say anything by heart. Ki hakol nase bashgocha protis. He means himself, he was bashgocha protis. What he meant to say is he himself made sure that each and every letter is punctuated properly, is in right order, and the words are there the way they're supposed to be. Afila mashinire katan ho'erich, even that which seems to be seemingly unimportant, I paid attention to every detail. Kemo yamiras psukim, like the psukim b'shas hakbor sefer Torah. People think that's not such a big thing. I made sure that everything should be in the proper way. In any case, he wrote what's also called Megillah Sefer. Megillah Sefer, there he wrote an autobiography about himself. And there is a fascinating thing, but I'll just mention when he talks about the greatness of his mother. By the greatness of his mother, he writes Bem Sadvarim that she was very, very poor. And as a result, he says, once a time, two aniyim, not one, two aniyim, two poor people showed up at the door, and she didn't have even one pruta to give to neither of them. And here you have two aniyim. You have two aniyim standing at the door, and she didn't have what to give them. Right, Rabbi Yankiv Emden, what did my mother do? She had a silver spoon. She took the silver spoon, she broke it in half, she gave half to one ani, and half to the other. So he says, my father, the Chacham Tzvi, noticed it. So on the spot, he said, now I know a new pshat in Eishes Chayil. It says, kapo porso leoni, which simply means, right, the hand was stretched out to leoni. Kapo means also mean kaf, the spoon. Kapo porso, she broke, she was pyri. She broke it in half and gave it to leoni. Kapo porso leoni, to the extent of being able to give tzedakah. So he points out. So, Rabbi Yankiv Emden here, regarding the Choyves Alvavis, interesting, in the Sefer Migdalois. So in the Sefer Migdalois that he deals with the halachas of Mila, he has a section that's called, by the way, he brings six she'orim of the Chovis Avodis. And there is a section, Beis Midois Aliyas Ho'ahava. He writes a hakdoma to the Chovis Avodis, to the Shara Havas Hashem. Chovis Avodis is one of the gates, one of the she'orim of the Shara Havas Hashem. And he writes as follows, Al Kain. He says, therefore, Na'atik Tchilo says, I will bring down and copy the words of the Sefer Chovis Alvavos. Why Chovis Alvavos? Ki hu harishoin shigilo yesoidis Hashem. Because he was the first that revealed the foundation, yesoidis Hashem. And then he has in another place, it's called Aliyas Haschira, that talks about memory. He writes there as follows. He says, the information in this section I took, he says, first he writes from a Sefer Orchis Tzadikim, very famous Sefer, Kishmoy Keinu, the ways of Tzadikim, Tzadikim Yelchu Ba'orchoisov. And he writes again that it's Koilel Harbe Misefer Chovis Alvodos. And you know who the Chovis Alvodos was? Writes Rabbi Yankiv Emden, Hasar v'ho'odoin l'chol bale sifrei chochmas hamusar. He's the Sar. He's the Sar and the master to all the Svarim of chochmas hamusar. Okay, so here again, of course, more need not be said. Let us take a look a little bit, Rabbi Yisai, at the Hagdoma that we have here, first of all, a little bit on the sheet, which some of the subject matter here is going to be dealt with in the Chovis Alvodos that we're going to see soon. So let's take a look at the sheet. We have here from a section here from a sefer called Oitzres HaTorah in Parshas Emor. Sefer Oitzes HaTorim Parsha Semor on the Pasuk regarding the mitzvah of Sukkah. And it says over there, Basukah is Teish Vishivas Yomim, Kol Ezor B'Yisrael Yeshu Basukis. Torah have the mitzvah, of course, that a Yid comes the Yontav of Sukkah. A Yid has to sit in Sukkah for 7 days. So Amru Chazal have said, what's the idea of Sukkah? Well, Chazal say, Omru Torah, say Midiris Kiva, leave your permanent dwelling, Vishav Midiris Arai, and go and now and dwell in a temporary Dira. So Sukkah is a temporary Dira. What is the Kavonas Advarim? What is the purpose that the Torah says to leave your Diris Kiva and to go temporary into a Diris Arai? What is the purpose of the whole mitzvah of Sukkah? So we have here from the Shulchan Kodesh. The Shulchan Kodesh brings down at the end of Masechet Sukkah. And he brings it down from the Sefer Menoris HaMoir. Menoris HaMoir is a tremendous Musa Sefer, going back many, many hundreds of years ago. The Shulchan Kodesh brings down from the Sefer Menoris HaMoir, Dvarim HaMalam Di Musa L'Bnei Yodom, Binyan Remez HaZukkah, V'Zeh Shoinim. Omu Chazal, Tzei Mediris Kiva, the purpose of Sukkah is to leave the permanent Dira Vishev Mediris Arai. What's the Kavonah? Kavanosom brings down the Shulchan Kodesh from the Menoris HaMoir. Shebo, he says, Mitzvah Sukkah. Mitzvah Sukkah came, what's the purpose? L'lamdeinu to teach us, shlo yosim odom bitchoinoi, a person should not place his trust, his security, begoiva beisoi, v'chizukoi v'tikune atoiv. Person feels he has a strong house, four sturdy walls, very good roof. Person feels I'm quite secure, I'm pretty safe over here. So a person has and puts his trust, he puts his betochen. He puts his safety within being insulated within the four walls, the four strong, sturdy walls. The Torah wants to reject that idea that a person should not only place his trust in the physical strength, in the physical construction of one's house. But after year, he says, "Molei mikol toiv," and even though the house might be full, have a full refrigerator, freezer, filled with kol tuv toiv, everything is fine. While yiftach, and a person should not place his trust b'siyuah shumadon. His trust should not be in human agency, what people do. Even if he happens to be the master, right, the ruler of the entire land. But the real trust the person should place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Shulchan Kodesh. Because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the real Yecholus. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, he does not change his mind. It says, "Lo'ish keil v'yechaziv." That's the posik. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a human being, a regular person who says one thing and v'yechaziv. It could be a lie. It could be an untruth. V'loy levado, only Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, hamachse, he has the koich of protection. V'hamaster, right, to hide you, to conceal you. Kedechsev. V'patech b'Hashem, chesed yisoy v'venu. And the Pasuk said, L'Hashem Machsi, Kadosh Baruch Hu is my protector. So, the mitzvah Sukkah comes to tell us what? You see, a Sukkah is a very flimsy booth. Very flimsy. Very, very artificial, very, very superficial. And the person recognizes that the true Shemir does not come from the four walls of a strong house. Avonim, bricks, mortar, cement. But he understands that what? Even though he has a little very, very, very artificial walls of a Sukkah, certainly, b'derech hateva, one that would not feel secure, but the security comes because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that protects you. That is the limud that the Torah wants to drive home. And ulaheir lo'odom alzeh bo mitzvah sukkah. In order to awaken a person, to arouse him to this, comes the mitzvah sukkah b'zman hazeh. You know when mitzvah sukkah is given? It's given at a time when a person feels he has atzloche. When does it come? It comes at the time of the asifa, when a person gathers all of the tvuot, all of the grain. Ba'ospecha. The Torah says that that's the season. The season of Sukkot is the zman asifa satvuot. It's the time when you're collecting the tvuot. It's the time of asifa geirin v'yokev. It's the time when you gather in from the threshing floor and the wine pit. It's the time when a person has the food, a person has the wherewithal. That's the time when Sukkah comes. K'mo Yishenema, the Pasuk says, Be'ospecha, the midst of Sukkah comes at a time when you are gathering, when you are collecting, Migarnecho Miyikvecho, when you're collecting the grain from the threshing floor and from the wine pit. Comes the Torah and tells us, now's the time I want you to go sit in the Sukkah. Because a person becomes Gaivedik when he has material goods. When a person has, the more that he feels that he's affluent, the more affluent that he feels, the more naturally he'll feel secure and forgets that there's a Bein Shalom in the world. So therefore, it's a Zman, he says, when people can rebel, because the land is filled. That's the season. That's the season where people are collecting, right? Collecting things of the field, collecting, gathering, storing away, putting into the silos. People are ready, farming is now over, now they go back to the regular city. Right, and he pitches his roof, and his house now is in perfect order, because now the winter season is coming, so he makes sure, so now he has his house physically. He has his house physically sound. He has his house physically sound, physically strong, to protect it from all the rain, from all the winds, all the hurricanes. So being now that a person, B'derech HaTevet, feels he's so secure. Look, I have all my food. My refrigerator is stocked. My house is strong. I have a good roof over my head. Ah, now comes the danger. Leave your physical security. Leave your natural security. That in order the person should place his real trust, his real faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person should realize that all the toiv that you have from the field, where does it come from? It comes out of the field. What it comes from, the field is only the vehicle, as we're going to soon see in the Chovas Avodas. The brach is not from the field. The field is just a shliach. The farm is just the vehicle through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a bracha. But the bracha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you have to learn. That's what you have to remind yourself. Therefore, Chazal came that the pasuk is meramis to us. What is the nature of schach? What kind of schach do you have? You don't have a strong roof over your head in a sukkah either. What's the schach? The schach is made out of the psoilus geirin v'yekev. In other words, you cover your sukkah with the psoilus, with the waste of the grain. The waste of the grain means from the husks, from the stalks of grain, and from the yekev, from the psoilus. What's the psoilus? It's the leaves and the twigs of the grapevine. Take the leaves. That's the psoilus, which is the unedible portion. You take that. So you take all the wasteful chelik of, you know, of the grapevine, the wasteful chelik of the grain. That's what you use. L'zeicher zeh. The purpose is that a person should always remember. She'osaf ha'peiris le'echol. The peiris that you gather to eat. Ha'psoilus l'schach. Right? Besitoy moto beitoy, the yiskoy should call shmiras gufay v'chala shaloi mesa shemizborach v'le yiftach ba shaloi. And understand, he says, not to have trust in what he has, but recognize that in fact, that is the Kodesh Baruch Hu is truly who is the source of your success. So it goes on further here now. Listen to the words. Remember, Rabbi Yisrael Yishlo HaKodesh, we're going back to the 1600s. Yishlo HaKodesh now adds the following words. Moisev Yishlo HaKodesh says as follows. Being that I'm talking to you about the mitzvah of sukkah, and I'm telling you that the mitzvah of sukkah is here, that a person should not rely on his physically strong bias, should not feel that his security and his shmira comes from the actual four walls of his house. I want to tell you what's bothering me. So within my heart, he says, it pains me. What pains me? I'll tell you what pains me. It pains me, says the Shlach Kodesh, Kishiro Oiro Isi B'nei Yisrael Boinim Batim K'moy Mivtzerei Asorim. I can't take it when I see how the Jewish people, they build palaces. They're building mansions fit for princes. Oisim Diris Kiva Boilam Azeh. Giving the impression as if this is their permanent place in this world. Uberetz Hatuma, and especially in Chutz Laretz, in addition to everything else. Now even though Chazal say that what? That the batim of tzaddikim, shuls and so on will be transplanted in Eretz Yisrael. V'av shomer Chazal asidim but the tzaddikim sheyivoy l'Eretz Yisrael. But the people who are building these mansions, that's not in their mind that this mansion is going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Their minds are that this is going to be a legacy to guarantee to their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. This is going to remain in their possession at Sof Kol HaDoiros. That's what they think. The kavona is lihiyos lohem nachlo lahanchil lebneihem ki ilu hoysos u hanachlo loyu lezaroi v'zer zaroi loylom. V'zeh nirechaz v'sholm kesech das mahagula. Also, a person who puts so much faith, he says, in his mansion that he's building, he says, in chutz laretz, the idea is that he does not, you can see his mind, bechlal, is not connected to the gula. Alken, he says, bonai. Therefore he's talking, he says, imiten Hashem lochem ashiris gedoylo. Even if you could afford it, he says. If you're a zoyche that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you great ashiris, but you don't have to show it. You have to show it off. Benu batim kifi hechrech tzorcheichem. Don't build according to your ashiris, build according to your need. The house should not reflect your ashiris. The house that you have should reflect that which you need. He says, kifi tzorcheichem. V'lo yoser. V'lo yitivnu migdolim. Don't build towers, he says. V'choyma is begayvu gedula. V'raklia is lochem modo lefi kevoidchem. It should be honorable, yes. It should be nice. Should be bekovedig, he says. The chadorim, you should have rooms, you should have some privacy, so you have some more extra rooms, he says, in the house. Chadorim lehizbaydid behem, letoyr lechuvah, to be able to be mizbaydid, to be able to separate yourself, you know, away from the noise, have yourself a separate room where you can contemplate, where you can concentrate. And he goes on to point out and says, Su erum atziva yoynodov ben Rechov. So Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Yoynodov ben Rechov was from the descendants of Yisrael, the children of Yisrael. And Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Bayis lo tivnu, ki ba'oholim teshvu. No houses, you're living in tents. So Shlomo HaKadosh says, well, today we don't live in tents. But the Hashkofa remains today also. We don't live in a tent, but the bayis should be something which at least has some shaykhis to the idea of what a tent is supposed to be. V'zeh ein shaykh ho'in, of course today it doesn't apply, leishe ba'oholim. Like zeh oimer, but this I can tell you, says Shlomo HaKadosh. Leave behind, he says, these magnificent edifices, which is way above the tzayrech that you need, the chadorim lekoved his boydidus lishmoyis bar, that you need to be able to concentrate for Kodesh Baruch Hu's sake. So that you need to have an extra room or two. Al kan l'shoyin so points out the Shulah Kodesh. So again, so this is of course the Musar that the Shulah Kodesh brings forth regarding the midst of Sukkah. Again, to be mechazik, the betochen should not be misplaced in anything artificial. Betochen should not be misplaced in anything material. Betochen should not be misplaced in anything that is through human achievement. But betochen comes, as he points out, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sukkah tells us from where the true Shmira, you can't rely on the walls of the Sukkah nor on the Schach of the Sukkah. Psoil is ger in v'yekif. So the Shmira Behechrech, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the lesson. We have here, interesting, it's probably one of the most famous little mises that probably every Mashgiach, one time or another, has mentioned it. Very well, a little mise from the Chofetz Chaim, of course. That's regarding that Ho'ilam Hazeh is Doimel Prozder. This world is like the hallway, and Ho'ilam Haba is the Traklin, is the ballroom. So you have the hallway leading to the ballroom. One can clearly understand that no one wants to remain in the hallway. The whole purpose of the hallway is to ultimately get to the ballroom, which that is the Olam Haba. Mesuperi brings down Shepam Bo Oireach Mechutz Loretz. He says, a guest once came from out of town, Levaker Etzel Moron HaChofetz Chaim. And of course, anybody who knows the Chofetz Chaim lived very, very simply, which is an understatement. He stakel this Oireach, he looks around, he says, Al Rehite Habayis. Rehite Habayis is the furniture. He looks around, observes the furniture of the Chofetz Chaim, the Shoal B'timoin, and he asks in surprise, such a great man like the Chofetz Chaim especially, he asks, Heichon nimtzoim heim harihitim shel kvod harav. Where? Maybe your furniture is somewhere in storage? He says, where is your furniture? Here in the house, he couldn't see it. Chofetz Chaim asked him, this person was a traveler, so he says, well, where is your furniture? So he says to him, harihitim shel cho eifahem, where is your furniture? So Chiyach began to laugh. My furniture? My furniture's at home. I'm on the road here. I don't have my furniture here. I'm on the road. So he says, Hola Yadur Rabbeinu Kereach Anikan. Vein Kan Besi. Chofetz Chaim says, Lehevi Yadur Aloch. He says, you also should know. Hizbi Rabbeinu. Ki Gamani, I'm also only a guest here. He says, I'm passing through to the Chofetz Chaim. The whole experience in Olam Hazeh is passing through. What do you mean what my furniture is? I have what I need, a little table, a few chairs. He says, this is what it is. He says, I'm passing through. The same place where your furniture is. You're passing through, he said. This is where I am. Kan raka proizder. This is just where we're going through. L'shem mar rehitim yofim beproizder. Why do we have to have? He says, in the hallway you have furniture. In the ballroom you have furniture. In the main room you have furniture. Not in the hallway. This world is just the hallway, he says. So what are you asking me where my furniture is? My furniture, he says, is in the ballroom. That's in Olam Haba. That's where all my furniture is. This is the idea here again. And that's what the Mitzvah Sukkah comes to tell us. This is just the Proizder. This is just the dearest Arai. Even when we, after Sukkah, when we go back in the house, the idea is to take the Ashkof of Sukkah with you. You're supposed to live. The Mitzvah of Sukkah is only 7 days, but the Ashkof of Sukkah is the entire year. Ashkof of Sukkah is the entire year. Okay, Rabbi, so you can see the rest yourself. We have to move on. Let's take a look at Chavis Avodis. And we go here. In the Chavis Avodis is Daf Resh Mem Aleph. It should be 7 lines from the bottom, which begins v'im yihyeh. Nechoy v'zavov is dafresh mem aleph, we're in Perek Dalet, Shara Betochen, v'im yihyeh. What the Nekudah, let me just make, is we always try to give a little hakdama what the Nechoy v'zavov is trying to teach us in this next paragraph. And when we get to that, we'll appreciate it. It's Daf Resh Mem Aleph. Again, look on top. Resh Mem Aleph. 7 lines from the bottom. Ve'im yeh haboteach b'lekim. Okay, 7 lines from the bottom. Okay. Chavis Avodah talks about people, of course, who live here in this world, have responsibilities. Person especially, if he's married, has a wife and children, he has responsibilities. As a result that you have responsibilities, of course, you're making a living, supporting your family, whatever chores a person has to do, certainly a parent to his children, to their children, a person has friends, you have relatives, the responsibility is there as well. As a result, life can be quite demanding upon a person to carry out his responsibilities both to his family, to his friends, and by the way, and sometimes he throws in here enemies as well. There's certain responsibilities, which means of how you have to deal with your enemies. But the focus here is not Tafkan, the enemy. The responsibilities. Now, a person who understands to carry out his responsibilities, Chavis Avodah points out that what he does, he should do with a full heart, carry out his responsibilities. But his kavona, his foremost kavona in doing all of that, is because Kodesh Baruch Hu put him in that position. And the Mela, what he does to carry out his responsibilities is to be Mekayim the Rotzen Hashem. And let's take a look in the Chavis Avodah, is how he develops this thought. So, Bekitzer, the main purpose of carrying out my responsibilities, besides the fact it's a necessity many times, of course, to carry out those responsibilities, but the main focus should be, as we'll see, his lofty machshava should be to carry out the Rotzen Hashem who put me in this position that I should carry out these responsibilities. And he says it in the following way. He says, if the person of whom we are talking about, to have betochen, if the person happens to be a bal isha, means he's a husband of a wife, means he has a family. He has a wife. Because he talks about people also who may be single, in another area. But now he's talking about, if the beter balakim, if the true beter balakim happens to be a family man, he's a bal isha, he happens to be a family man, ukrevim v'oyhavim v'oyvim. And he has krevim, he has relatives, he has good friends, he has enemies too. So first of all, yiftach b'leikim batzalosoy mehem. First thing is a very interesting thing. You realize that responsibility sometimes can really become very burdening. And it can be very overburdening. So when a person has, he finds himself confronted with strong responsibilities, first he should also look towards Hashem Yisborach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should spare him from being too overburdened. Life carries a person in many directions. Some people have the schus of carrying out the responsibilities, right? With less of an oil, it does not burden him that much. It comes easier. Other people find themselves in situations where it becomes very burdening. And sometimes it seems overburdening. So Chavis Avodah says right away, you have a family and you have responsibilities to friends and to relatives and so on. Yiftach b'leikim b'hatzolosoy mehem. That Hashem will spare you, v'matzol you. That will save you from being overburdened. V'yishtadel, and a person should be mishtadel l'froya ma'ashechayv lehem. A person should be mishtadel to pay his duty, right? He should see to meet his duties that he has to his family, the duties that he has to his relatives, to carry out the duties, to meet the duties that he has to his friends. And to do right their wishes, and not to do that which needs to be done. And also he should do it b'leiv shalom. Not as many times a person does what he does, but he does it with a heavy heart, because he's forced to. You have a family, you have responsibilities, carry out those responsibilities, he says, with b'leiv shalom. Not like someone is forced to, like if you could avoid it, you could evade it, you know, you'd run away from it and just let it. No, whatever you're doing to carry out your responsibilities, seek to do it b'leiv shalom. Not like you're forced to, because that's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to meet your responsibilities, to meet your duties that you have. The yeref yodoy mahazekosom, and to try to avoid from being mazik them, whether it's your wife, whether it's your friends, whether it's your relatives, and so on. The yisabe valmashi yetoiv lohem, and see to bring about only that which is good to them. The yisabe. Right? See that inadvertently, whatever you might be doing, see to it that the results will come out to benefit your family, your wife, and so on and so forth. The nemon b'cholin yoneim. Nemon in this case means it should not be just sometimes, from time to time. Nemon means it should be a dover shemiskayim. It means you should be a steadfast supporter, a continuous supporter. Yenemon b'cholin yoneim. Not only that, be a role model to teach them the right hashkofis also. Among one's responsibility is, if you're able, to guide your friends, to guide your family, to guide the people around you. V'yoyreim, you should teach them. Ofnei toya loisom, that which brings, the ifanim that bring toyeles, binyonei atoyra, and also v'hoilom, in the world at large, yimila di'alma, lavoydis aboyre. In other words, show them that whatever in this world, whether it's toyre directly, no matter what you do, everything has a purpose to serve Hashem. Because everything in this world has a way, has a means where a person can utilize it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. K'moshe Kosuv. And as the Pasuk says, V'ahavta l'reyacho k'moicho. The Chof Salvavis interprets this Pasuk, l'reyacho means your closest friends, means your family, your krevim, your yedidim. V'yomar the Pasuk says, l'sisna sochicho b'lvovecho. One should not hate his brother in his heart. Chof Salvavis now comes on to say the following. When you are carrying out your responsibilities, what should your kavona be? What should your kavona be? Now listen to what he says. Loy liyachel hagmul mehem. Should not be for ulterior motives. Not be for ulterior motives. Loy liyachel. Yachel means to hope. Loy liyachel hagmul mehem. Don't do it because you hope that they're going to pay you back. You're going to get schar. You're going to get schar for that. That should not be the reason. Loy likadem etzlam. Don't do a favor because now, maybe next time we'll do a favor back to you. They'll be beholden to you. V'loy mahavosoy b'chvoidom v'shivchom. Should also not be because he wants their honor. They should honor him. Many times people do a lot of good things because he wants the recipient to honor them, right, or to like them, to love them. The person says, how can I be loved? Oh, I'll start doing a lot of favors to people. Maybe I'll buy their love. That should not be your main reason why you're carrying out your responsibilities. Not for reward. Not to accept COVID, not because of ahava, not to gain the trust, or they should praise you, and not to rule over them. Many times, when we do favors to others, we feel now we are superior to them, and they now are machnia themselves to us, we have the ability to rule over them. That should not be a reason. The purpose is to be mikayim mitzvahs Hashem. This is the way Hashem put me, gave me this task, gave me these mitzvahs, gave me this obligation. And he goes on to say, because if you're doing it for ulterior motives, the end of the day is you're not going to be successful. Yeah, at the beginning you think that you're going to gain all these side benefits. But at the end of the day, he says, because in fact, if a person's mind, his intention, when he does all the good things, will be al echod mahadvarim shezachanu tchilo, it will be for the sibas that we mentioned before. Namely, what were the sibas? Either to accept reward, I'm going to get COVID, or because they're going to praise me. Because for all the shloil shmas over here, if it's going to be for these reasons, lo yasig retzayno mehem boi lamazeh. In this world, you're not going to be successful, v'yigal arik, and you're going to labor for nothing, and also v'yafsit tzchor eloi lamaboh. On the other hand, but if you have pure machshavas and you're doing all the good, he says, l'shem Hashem. So if you're doing all the good, l'shem Hashem, Yazrem olikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you, ligma loisa bo'elam hazeh, then in fact you will get reward bo'elam hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that you are rewarded bo'elam hazeh. And not only that, you will be praised. V'yosim b'fihem shivchoi v'yigdal inyonoi b'neihem, and he will be great in their eyes. V'yagia el hagmul hagodol bo'elam habo. And he will finally reach the tremendous schar, which is the greatest schar of all, is the schar of bo'elam habo. K'moshomar ho'lekim l'shloimoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shloim HaMelech, V'gama sh'loi sh'alto nasati loch gam oisher gam kovet. Because you did not ask it, you're getting also oisher v'kovet. You might remember Shloim HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, I give you the choice, you can ask from me whatever you want, and I'll fulfill your request. You can ask Ashiris. You can ask Kovet. You have a brayer. Can you imagine somebody has such an offer? Hashem comes to you and says, you have a choice, make a request, and I'll give it to you. Shlomo HaMelech had the brayer to ask Ashiris, ask Kovet. Now what he asked for? Chochmah, I want wisdom. Tremendous choice. He was Mevater on Ashiris. He was Mevater on Kovet. What did Hashem say? Being that you chose so wisely, not only I'm going to give you Chochmah, I'm going to give you Ashiris, and you're going to get the Kovet also. That's what the Pasuk says. V'gam ha'sheloi sh'alto, nasati loch, he says, gam oisha gam kovet. So which means to say, if a person does things l'shem shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the other things too, with all the side benefits. All the other side benefits that you might have wanted, but being that you're able to have and to charter your course, to have your machshavas l'shem shemayim, you're going to get the reward anyway. Then he goes further. Rav Salvovitz says further, and he says, Aval ofnei betchoinoi ala lekov. He said like this. Rav Salvovitz wants to point out over here that when a person, let's say, makes a request from a friend, he needs something. When a person is making a request to a friend because he needs something, and the person either will be successful in granting him, or maybe not successful. But let us assume that the person is successful and he's going to grant him the request. A person should realize that the source of his atzlocha does not come from the person, it comes from Hashem. Hashem used that person, right, to be the supplier of this event, to be the supplier of this idea. However, he should recognize the opposite too. What happens when somebody asks you for something, and you are able to grant that person's wishes, don't think that you are doing him the teiva. You realize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the teiva through you. You are merely the shliach. Don't take the credit for yourself in neither case, whether somebody is doing the favor to you or whether you're doing a favor to somebody else. And here he points it out. Aval ofnei betchoinei ala lekov, he says. The way a person, the oifen, how a person utilizes his bitochen to Hashem, beinyonei, whether it's mishu hu lemala memenu, sometimes you have classes of people which are higher than you, umishu hu lemata memenu, mikitosh ben yodom. Bekitzer, you're dealing with people, different class of people. Some people are above you, some people are below you, and sometimes you have to come on to people, not only when they're above you, sometimes Dafki is someone who's below you. He's able to do you that favor. He says, Haponim ha-yishorim loy, the proper way, Haponim ha-yishorim loy means the proper way of how to utilize bitochen is as follows. Kishiyovi oisei ha-tzayrech levakesh chayfetz. He says, when the need comes about that he has to be mevakesh chayfetz, mimishuhu either lamala memenu or lamata memenu, or from someone that's either higher or lower, sheyiftach boy alelikov, the betochen of receiving that chayfetz that he needs, his betochen should be on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His betochen is that Hashem will grant him the yisimem siba, right, behashlamosoi. The yisimem, those people he makes them only yisibe lashlamosoi. In other words, the source of the bracha does not come from them. They are just the sibah, they are just the vehicle to be mashlim, that which Hashem is giving. And he gives a moshel to that. The moshel says, the chovis of ovis is, kashu yosim avoidas ho'oretz, uzriyoso sibol l'tirfoi. Tirfoi again means the person's livelihood. Let's say a person is a farmer. So Mamela, in order to be successful, what does he do? He has to till the soil, and he has to plow, and he has to plant. At the end of the day, right, few months go by, and he's successful. It grows bountiful crop, a lot of crops. So who is he thanking? The ground? Or is he thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allowed the ground to yield him? Many, many times, you do the exact same thing, and it doesn't happen. It just, there's no bracha, there's no tzlacha. It's a weak year. It's a year that didn't yield. So, sometimes yes, a tzlacha, sometimes less a tzlacha. There's not. So in the same way that you understand that the ground is just the sibe, is the vehicle that you should have the atzlocha, but that's not the source of your atzlocha. Kashu yosem avoida asoros. He understands he has to work the ground. Uzriyosa, he has to plant. That's merely sibe letirfoi. That's merely the sibe, which means that's merely the vehicle, which means to say is ach hahoidoa lebayri levadoi. But the thank you does not come to the ground. The thank you that produced all of that food, the thank you is not the ground. The hoidoa comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because you know what? If Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want you to have a livelihood, then nothing is going to grow. Kodesh Baruch Hu can cause many, many things to happen that's not going to be successful. As he says right away, if Kodesh Baruch Hu, let's say, wants your potatoes to come from someplace else, you can do all the farming you want, he says. You can do all the farming, you put in all the effort. Im lo yach poitzel ekim la trifa memenu, because God does not want you to be successful from here. Lo tatzmiach oretz. Then the ground will not produce. Or even if it produces, you know, it could happen. Before you have a chance to harvest, it can come a wind and destroy it all. He says, oi tatzmiach, it may grow, right? Sprout. But the yikra hatzemach pega. But some sort of a pega might happen, some sort of a calamity befalls it. And you know what? The ein lahashim oretz, you can't blame the ground. If it doesn't turn out, you can't blame the ground. It all comes from a Shemayim. Both is success. So the same way says Zuchayv Savodis. The same way that when things grow, the Shkoyach, the thank you is not to the ground. The thank you is to Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you need a Chayfetz from someone, and someone happens to produce that Chayfetz for you, is the Hoidoah comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that person is merely the vehicle that Kodesh Baruch Hu decided. And if not him, could have been somebody else. As he goes further, the same thing he says when he asks, that's what he points out now. When you are being mevakish, when you're requesting from a person, you're requesting a chayfetz from a person. It doesn't make a difference, by the way, if that person is weak or strong. Because Hashem will decide whether this should take place, whether this should happen or not. She etzloi hacholosh vachozik mehem shove basoysoi. In a person's mind, he should believe that in order for him to receive the chayfetz, a weak person or a strong person is just the same. Because it has nothing to do, he says, from the physical standpoint of the person, the yiftach bashlomosoy al holekim yizborach. Because the bitochim bashlomosoy, that this is going to happen, bashlomosoy, the fulfillment of his request is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'im yishlam al yidei echad mehem. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu chooses one person to be the shliach, so first of all, you thank Hashem that Hashem fulfilled his request. And the yoida lemi, you also say thank you to the person who was the vehicle. The yoida lemi shenasa yodoi aliboy hatoivloi. Kodesh Baruch Hu chose him. So he said to him a thank you too. You know, thank you that Kodesh Baruch Hu made you to be the shliach to bring me the chayfetz. Okay, you do it, because by the way, when a person has a schus to do you a favor, that person also has a schus. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu brings schusim through worthy people. Punishment comes through people who are unworthy. But a shliach to do toiv has to be also someone who has schusim. A shliach for toiv. So if someone happened to be the shliach to be able to do a toiv for you, it means he has merit as well. As he points out, ki yidu ashena boirei megalgal toiv el le'ay tzadikim. Kodesh Baruch Hu brings Toiva through tzaddikim, means through righteous people. Uma'athu shem is galgal hefset al yideim. Very few times will hefset come out through tzaddikim. Because if Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to bring hefset to someone, he'll use other shluchim. So very rarely, he says, through a tzaddik or through a righteous person will you have hefset. Kama Shomrut Chazal have said, Morgan Bavabasra, megalgal and schus al yidei zakai. Schusim a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes happen through worthy people. V'choiva al yidei chayif. And liability comes from people who themselves are chayiv. And the Pasuk says, "Lo yu'una l'tzadik kolovin," which means to say is that no evil befalls a tzadik. So a righteous person brings you good things. So if a person was zeichet to be, right, to be the mashpia, that you should have a dover toiv, so you thank him also, Kodesh Baruch Hu used you, because probably you are worthy of that, Kodesh Baruch Hu used you to be the one to do me a favor. Now here comes on the next line. What happens if the person is not successful? Let's say you requested a favor from a person to do you. You thought he can do it. Turns out that the person was not successful. Chavis Avodah says, don't blame the person. Don't be upset at the person. Kodesh Baruch Hu himself decided it's not for you. Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that you should not have that which you thought you want. Kodesh Baruch Hu decided, he says, v'im lo yishlam lo yal yedeyem, and if you're Bakoshe did not come, right? Did not come to happen. Im lo yishlam lo al yedem al yashimen. Don't blame the person. Va'al yitla behem kitzur. And don't attribute negligence. Don't attribute negligence. He says, Ach yoyde lekim v'ke. Nur Chavidol says, thank Hashem it didn't happen. You know why? Because the reason it didn't happen is because Hashem understands it's better for you, it shouldn't happen. Many times we want many things, we think that by having it, it's a toive for us. Hashem in reality knows that it's not good. So if you were mishtadl for something and it didn't work out, thank Hashem that it didn't work out. Because Hashem understood that that's the toive for you. As he points out, that yoyde lelikim ashebok aloi hatoiv bozeh. This happens to be the toive. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe you don't understand it. And praise the person for his ishtadlus trying to do for you. Even though it didn't work out what you wanted and what they tried to do, even though it didn't work out. And this should be the hanhogi with people in general. This is the way that you conduct yourself with your relatives, v'oyhavov, and your friends, u'bemisha noisiv, v'noisenimoam, with your business associates, v'shamoshov, and your employees, v'shutovim, partners. And that is, that when things work out, you understand that they were the shluchim to make it happen. And if things don't work out, it means again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to work out. And this bechlal, this is the hanhoge v'yid, and again, always to understand, really, in fact, where the source of his hatzlocha comes from, and this is the avodah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps repeating all the time. That is the shayrish of the midah bitochen. Just the next few minutes, Rabbi Yisrael, let's conclude. One of the most popular sifre chassidis of the chassidish sfurim is a sefer called Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Toldos Yaakov Yosef was the author, of course. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Yosef HaKoyen. Again, lived in the 1700s. And he was probably one of the primary Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. One of the main Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. And it's kedai to mention that Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, he told us, it's called, in the Welt of Chassidus, when they say a word from the Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef, they said, the Toldos says, the Toldos writes, the Toldos. Everybody knows who you mean when you say the Toldos. The Toldos, we said, one of the main Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was renowned for his hasmod and tremendous memory. Now, when he heard of the Baal Shem Tov the very first time, when he heard of the Baal Shem Tov, and he also heard about the Baal Shem Tov's new ways, his chedushim in Avodas Hashem, and that's when the Chassidish movement started. And as you know, there were many, many opponents in opposition. Of course, the Goyin we know, the Goyin with the Balatanya, the famous Machloikis. Going before that, before the Goyin wasn't the first. Many, many opposition. A lot of great Gedolei Yisrael against it. There's a sefer called Zichron Yosef. His name is Rabbi Yosef Steinhardt. I have a volume printed a few hundred years ago in the Hagdome. He writes, Mamish, he says, Kat Achas, he says, a new kit, he says, a new group have come here and trying to change the face of Yiddishkeit. Tremendous rights with opposition and with fury. Against the Hasidus, and this is the way it was. The Hasidus did, until it was able to be misgaber itself, and certainly, you know, that had flourished, but it took quite a bit of beating. So the Yaakov Yosef, they told us Yaakov Yosef, when he heard about the Baal Shem Tov's new approaches, as it were, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was not sure, Bechlal, if this is something for him. He was not sure if this is a derech for him. And it's at that time, the Baal Shem Tov, as we mentioned, many, many misnagdim, and Rabbi Yaakov Yosef was also among the skeptics. The Toldos was among the skeptics. Over the years, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef had numerous encounters with the Baal Shem Tov, and each encounter basically brought him a step closer to the Baal Shem Tov. Each encounter brought him a step closer to accepting his ways. Ad kedei kach, that the Toldos becomes the chief scribe. The chief scribe of the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, and probably it's not an exaggeration to say that much of what we have today in the name of the Baal Shem Tov directly is from the Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Countless places he says, Shumati mipi moiri, Shumati mipi moiri, I heard from my Rebbe, I heard from my Rebbe. And of course that is directly from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov didn't write it. And that's why we have very little from the Baal Shem Tov himself. And yet all of the Torah of Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, come that were spread by the Talmidim. Spread by the Talmidim. And from the Baal Shem Tov directly, they said most of the stuff is from the Torah Yankev Yosef. He was like the chief scribe who wrote down the Torahs of the Baal Shem Tov. So they say that one of the compelling occurrences that brought him closer to the Baal Shem Tov, among a number of situations that brought him closer to the Baal Shem Tov, he says, occurred actually in Mezhubish. Mezhubish, as you know, that's the famous town, of course, of the Baal Shem Tov. And it's pointed out, he said, that the Baal Shem Tov and the Rabbi Yankev Yosef, that they were standing together, and they're discussing some thoughts of Torah. And the Baal Shem Tov expressed then the belief, it's something that we already mentioned in the past, and the notion, because it's the Yisoyin HaChassidus, we mentioned in the Chovetz Chavodos also. Baal Shem Tov there expressed the idea, the notion, that he says that everything that happens, and you notice it, that there is a relevant message to you. In other words, if there's an occurrence in the world, and you are aware of it, you become aware of that occurrence, the fact that you have to know this means that there's a relevant message to you. So whatever happens to me, there's a message to you, because everything that happens, he says, even if it seems to be very insignificant, so said the Baal Shem Tov, whatever happens, even though it seems to be very insignificant, it's ordained by Hashem. And being if it's ordained by Hashem, there's a message to you. Why did this particular leaf fall to the ground? Wind blows, right? 10 leaves fall to the ground. Why these 10? Why not 15? Why not from the other side of the tree? Why not from this side of the tree? Or why did this area, the Baal Shem Tov, just say, Dafke become shady, as opposed to that area? Now, somebody will say, well, it's just a natural occurrence. So I said, no. Whatever happens, the Zashgoch and Hashem, it's supposed to happen that way. Hashem decreed it. That's what Hashem wants it to happen. So as we're discussing this concept that whatever happens, so there's a message for you, there's a message in Shemayim, comes out that a Gentile worker, a Gentile worker was coming by, he comes to the door, and he knocks on the door of the Baal Shem Tov's house, and he says, good morning, he says, Rebbe, is there anything that needs fixing today? He's the worker looking for a job, never working. So he knocks on the door of Baal Shem Tov, is there anything that needs fixing today? And the Baal Shem Tov said, not today, he says, because everything seems to be in order. But the workman could not accept the answer, he needed work. So he blurts out and he says to the Baal Shem Tov, he says, Rebbe, if you look hard enough, you'll always find there's something that needs repair. Baal Shem Tov turns to Seth Ritoldis. Do you realize now, you received a message in Avodas Hashem, that a person should always be looking hard within himself, and you'll find out there's always something that needs repair. Never think you're perfect. And when you believe that you are perfect, so just look a little bit harder. If you look hard enough, you'll find there's always something that needs repair. So, Rabbi Yankev Yosef was not ready. He says, I can't accept this, because if Hashem had such a lofty message, tremendous message in a person's life, he would send it by a goyish worker? Is that the shliach that Hashem would send this kind of a message? The Gavaldik message? Would he send it from such a lowly person? So he says, I can't accept it. And the Baal Shem Tov said the following words. He says, you can, you just don't want to. Yankev Yosef leaves the house of the Baal Shem Tov and reflected upon the conversation. As he stands there, a goyisha farmer passes by with a wagon load of hay. By the way, Ritzadik HaKoyim brings the same maise in his sefer, but here he brings it from Rebbe Bzisha. So, again, I don't know if there's a different gerse, or maybe both maises, but they happen to both equally. But Rav Tzadik HaKohen brings the same thing, he brings it from the Rebbe Bzisha. But either as it may. So Rabbi Yankev Yosef continues on the way, and there's a Gentile farmer that is passing by with a wagon load of hay, and as quite naturally, some of the bales of hay became loose, and now they fall to the ground. So the farmer began to bring it up to load the wagon again. And he sees Rabbi Yankev Yosef standing there. So he goes over to Rabbi Yankev Yosef and he says, can you help me with these hay, with these bales of hay? After all, he said, they're too heavy for me to lift. Rabbi Yankev Yosef said, I'm sorry, he says, I can't. They're too heavy for me too. And the goy says, you can, you don't want to. The exact same words that the Baal Shem Tov said to him just a few moments ago, and here he hears it again from a goy. He said, this did it for him. He says, he says the exact same words. A heavenly message from a wagon driver? How could that happen? Here comes the idea. telling us what the Baal Shem Tov, of course, taught. And of course, this was one of the compelling situations, you know, among others that brought him closer to the Baal Shem Tov. And he became, of course, became one of the top Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. So I just wanted to clue to you that interesting thing is that the Nesiv Sholem, of course, Slonim Rebbe, in Vayikra, he writes, you know, they might remember the Pasuk, Vayikra Moshe, but says right after that, Vayidaber Hashem Elov. Now you notice, Vayikra Moshe doesn't say who called to Moshe. And of course, Rashi says it's the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it doesn't say. It's a Vayikra Moshe. The next phrase it says, Vayidaber Hashem Elov. Says, Eslonim Rebbe, he says, you know why? Because Vayikra Moshe, Moshe understood that every call he heard, even from simple people, it's Hashem talking to him. Vayikra Moshe, any call. You know where it's from? Vayidaber Hashem Elov. Hashem is talking to you. And maybe that's why, Rabbi Yisai, when we find ourselves confronted with a difficult mitzvah, or we're faced with a challenge, so we can always remember, when we think we can't, we can, maybe we don't want to.